Duncan, this one's come in for you from Ali, who says, what is the science behind differences in pain threshold? Is it fixed in a person, or is it something that we can learn? We can make things more or less painful.
It's an interesting question from a kind of basic science perspective, but also from a clinical perspective, because, of course, one of the big challenges in medicine is trying to manage people's pain. And it's very difficult because ultimately there's no way of knowing how much pain a participant or a subject or a patient in a hospital is in. And so it's very hard to know how much medication they should be given. So there's lots of variability in how sensitive different people are to pain. And one of the big sources of variability is genetic. So the way that this is studied in the lab is they will use something like a heat sensor or cold presser to create a kind of painful sensation. And we know that variability in heat pain sensitivity, about 26 to 32% of that can be attributed to underlying genetic differences. But it's as much as 60% for variability in cold presser pain.
And what are those genes actually doing to make, say, you feel a lot more pain for the same stimulus than me?
Those genes could be doing various different things. There's a kind of long pipeline going from the affector, so when you receive the sensation of the pain, kind of travels up either to the cord, then all the way to the brain, back out again. And there are multiple steps at which those genes could be coding for different types of receptor. They could be coding for different types of transmitter, or they could be involved in higher level neurobiological systems. One source of variability that we know about is that there are areas of the cortex, so the outer layer of the brain, that's usually we think of as being responsible for the higher order cognitive skills. So areas of the frontal lobe, like the insula, which is kind of just behind your eyes, and also somatosensory cortex, we know that variability in the extent to which people can upregulate those areas seems to be involved in their ability to regulate pain.
So it's a bit like height then, in the sense that there are loads and loads of genes that probably determine how tall you get, but it's not going to be down to one gene alone.
Exactly. So the way that we work out these percentages, one way that they do it is with twin studies. So if you get identical twins and non-identical twins, then you know, roughly speaking, how much shared genetic material those participants have. And from that, you can calculate what proportion of the variability is genetic. But of course, it doesn't tell you which genes it is or how many genes it is. There are different types of pain sensation, and they seem to have different types of genetic susceptibility. And that implies that there are, underlying the system, sort of physiologically distinct different pain systems. Some of them might be more genetic than others. And so, for instance, gender is an important predictor of pain. So people who are male have slightly higher pain tolerances than female. But it's about 8% for heat pain, but much larger for cold presser pain. The fact that variability in the extent to which you can upregulate these higher order, almost cognitive areas of the brain, the fact that that will modulate your pain sensation implies that it is to some degree trainable. And we know that there are all sorts of different interventions, like practicing meditation, for example, and people who are experts in meditating do claim that it helps them to moderate their experience of pain. And so, for instance, there are people who practice different types of meditation prior to childbirth.
Well, on that soothing note, we will leave it there. Duncan Astle, thank you very much. And thank you to our other guests this week, who are Nadia Radsman, Peter Cowley, and Livia Souza.